Power Trip After Party Podcast, presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Available now in the podcast section of the iHeartRadio app and on KFAN.com.
Hi, it's the After Party Podcast. It's the 12th day of April, 2021. It is 9 a.m. Right now, it's Zach and Brianna and Ben and I. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Do you remember when Tom Pelissero worked for the Fan? Because I know he's coming up on your podcast sometime soon. Do you remember when he worked for us?
Well, I did not remember that, but obviously working here, I know the history now that Pelissero was here and kind of cut his teeth here and then moved on. And now he's like all over NFL Network on every single
hit.
I mean, he was on Good Morning Football last week. It was the last week, 2 weeks. Like the guy is just kind of everywhere. Yeah.
It's been so much fun. I mean, he's one of those kids who you're like, you're watching their career. And you know why he's succeeding, because that kid works his ass. I'm talking about Pelissero. Because did you guys intern at the same time?
Kind of. Yeah, he was. He was right after me. No, he was like. Well, he started off, I believe, as an internet guy. I think he worked with Jeremy Sinon first.
Yeah.
And then he was a KFAN.com writer.
Yep.
So I think he was just kind of like a part time guy for a while.
Right.
And then, that was about it. Then he did some fill-in work and then left to go write. He was at the USA Today for a little bit.
Yep. Uh-huh.
He was at 1500 for a while. I don't know. He's just had he just keeps grinding. He was at the Eau Claire paper, I think, for a while.
That's right. Yep. Covered the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. Wrote for the Packers for a while.
I mean, how old is he? I haven't even looked at
like 40. He's like my age.
Yeah, he's about his age. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of bouncing around before. Like, he's...
Yeah, man. But he's really good at what he does.
He's really good.
I love Tom.
I love every time we go on the road and for a game, obviously, he's almost at every game we're there. And he's a nice guy, man. He always says hi and asks how things are going.
I'm sure this has happened to you before, but I felt so bad. I felt like I was just badgering him, you know, like contacting him to see if he'd want to jump on the podcast and whatever. And, you know, it'd be like 48 hours before he responded. And I get it. Like,
sure.
And he's like, you know, it's really busy. It was like free agency time. I'm like, totally get it. Like, this is not like an immediate thing. We can whatever. And then I'd wait like 2 weeks. And I'm like, hey, you know. So I probably reached out to him several times. And he's like, now we got draft stuff. And he's like, I don't know where I'm going to be. He's like, they got me kind of traveling all over the place. And it always like, it was such quick responses. I'm like, God, he's just like, he's really irritated with me.
Yeah, right.
Like I'm reading his text, like he doesn't like the fact that I'm like pestering him. Like this is obviously a busy time, but I'm just trying to leave it out there. Like this is not like immediate. It's like want to gauge your interest,
sure,
like, whatever. So I'm like, I should just probably stop asking at least until the draft is over. Like I just don't think that I'm just like bugging the shit out of
him.
And then finally he's like, listen, I've got this week. I don't think I'm going anywhere. My schedule should come out. He's like, hit me up then. So I did, and so now he's going to do it. But now it's like, it's such a tight window. He's like, I can do this day at this time. Like, okay, I guess I got to,
for sure. I'll make it work.
Yeah, I'll make it work.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'd love to hear his story. Cause like I said, we talked to him in passing, but I haven't really spoken to him at length since he left here to go begin his career. Were you here this was before your time, right?
Yeah. But I remember Corey and Lake used to have him on.
Yeah.
And I would have to call him. Yeah. I remember him. I don't think I ever saw him in the building,
right,
if that makes sense.
Is Johnny Lazor still doing
Virginia Tech?
He does football, basketball, and baseball.
He's like the voice of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, he's the voice of Virginia Tech.
He was another guy who was an intern here. And
yeah, we started the same week, John Lazor and me.
Yep.
Yeah, he taught me how to run the board. And then it was an NFC championship game? It was something. And after you played like one break an hour manually, the other four were just... So then we went out and smoked cigarettes.
I'd like to see him again because I can't even imagine what he looks like as an adult. Because the last time I saw him, he was still an intern.
Yeah, and he looks like a professional adult broadcaster.
He's really good.
Like, to your point, you just don't see people for a while. And all of a sudden, hey, that kid grew up.
Yeah, right.
I remember being unbelievably jealous of Lazor because he would play cards all the time like I used to and still do, unfortunately.
But was he good at it?
Well, in this hand specifically, no, but he was the first like person I knew that hit the bad beat jackpot at Canterbury. So he won $16,000.
Whoa!
Damn.
I think it was 16,000.
Because he lost?
Because his hand, he had a hand, like the hand that I had in Sioux Falls 2 months ago, that I said is a quote bad beat. You don't get anything in a tournament for a bad beat like that, but a lot of casinos have progressive jackpots because it's so rare for that to happen. And he won something like $16,000 when we were 22 or 23 years old.
Whoa.
I'm like, that son of a bitch. And again, I've been playing that game 20 years and never hit one.
Yeah.
And he hit one when we were interns, and I thought he was super cool.
So you know another guy that I just got to meet, and you guys would know him, and he's had a terrible piece of, I guess, professional news is Fokey. John Fokey?
Yeah.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Am I saying his name, last name right?
Yeah, great yeah. guy.
Yeah. Great guy, right? Yeah. Like, yep. he was here.
With the Wolves.
With the Wolves, yeah. did all that stuff. And then, you know, he went to work with the Bobcats in Charlotte and then got fired because of a racist tweet, I guess.
Yeah. yeah.
So I worked with him all through college football. Like, he was our stats guy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So my play-by-play guy I knew of him, obviously, because they work basically in the same business in the same town. And he's like, listen, the guy kind of needs some work. And he's like, I trust him, whatever. Having met that guy and worked with him for, 10 weeks in a row, it's got to be a mistake, like, what happened.
100%.
It has to be.
But that was an instant response. Everybody that knew him knew it was a typo and it was some kind of weird, like, there's that's just not him.
Yeah, it's not so him. He's the nicest guy ever.
He worked his ass off and waited his turn and grinded and finally got his dream job, and it gets taken away with one mistake tweet. But in the culture now, it's that story went viral nationally. So it's, you can't be in, you know, you can't be a Michael Jordan employee and get away with
feel so bad because I'm like,
there's no way there was malice there.
There's no malice there. He's like a Mr. Rogers type of personality.
Yeah.
Like, he is the nicest guy ever. And I'm like, is his career really over because of a typo? Like, forever over? And I was talking to Abbott about this, and he's like, we just don't, in this climate, we just don't know anymore. Like, because the second somebody hires him, even if you give him a year off, and you're like, he's just out of the limelight. Immediately, he gets hired in some major market, and they're going to Google his name, and what do you think is going to come up?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, you can't scrub that.
It's the Tom Brenneman factor, too, with Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
The Reds, right. Yeah. Did the homophobic slur bit.
Yeah.
He'll probably never work again, right?
And he knew it at the time,
yeah,
right?
He knew it immediately,
that.
Right?
But that's a whole different thing, though, because the context of that was...
I agree. That
exactly what it was. This was a complete typo.
I totally agree. I'm not comparing the two
that
in terms
you
of...
Can't...
Folky was an accident. The other one was intentional. My point is, once you make that mistake, you are never getting a job again, right? Now, Brenneman's been doing it for what? 30?
Wasn't Brenneman Fox's second guy?
Something like that? He's losing his job at the end of his endish of his career for a true mistake. That was his fault. Folky's was just getting started. And that was a accident. Like a legit accident.
Hmm.
That's why, Sauce, you got to read your texts before you hit send, right?
Yeah.
We tease Sauce about spell checks.
That's why society has to freaking figure it out and understand the difference between actual racism and something that was a clear typo and understand the damn context of it and not ruin a good guy's career, who, by the way, multiple people went to bat for him. From the Lynx, from the Timberwolves.
Almost everybody.
Right,
Cheryl Reeve.
Cheryl Reeve.
Like, he's the nicest guy ever.
So I just think that's ridiculous. I feel awful for him.
Didn't the Hornets say, if I remember right, didn't they say they had some kind of investigation or internal investigation to look into it? That's bullshit then, because if you looked into it, there's no way they would have, quote, fired him.
So the way I understand the story, and I don't think I'm saying anything like too out of turn here, too private, but the way I understand it is, you know, he had, you know, Michael Jordan fired him. I mean, he sat in front of him. And it was sort of intimated that, like, I think Jordan believed him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I think the climate that they're in, they
can't keep you.
It's
just business.
Yeah, it's like, we just have to let you go.
Yep.
You know, and which I think is even worse.
Can we talk about that for a second, though? Can you imagine getting fired by Michael Jordan over the N-word?
Right.
Oh my
just
God!
Wrap your head around that for a second. Like,
no, I know.
If you're a basketball fan like John Folkey is, intentional, accidental, or anywhere in between, you have to sit in front of Michael Jordan, and I've been in the same room as him. It's fucking weird because he's a superhero, and he's firing you. Mm-hmm. Not because, hey, I don't think you're great on the radio or anything.
Right.
It's because you tweeted the N-word.
Right.
And Michael Jordan says, get the fuck out of my office. That's got to be the weirdest moment of your life.
Has to be.
Has to be so surreal.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan's your boss. Let's just start there. Then it's you're getting called into the office, what, 48 hours after the weirdest moment of your life probably, right? When you go viral nationally.
Yeah. I'm sort of hoping, and I haven't followed up with it, and I probably should. Like, I'm sort of hoping they did give him a year off and they just kind of like rehire. Because that's about the only market that I think you can get away with, like, hiring him back and be like, all right, we gave him a one-year suspension. He learned his lesson to, like, be careful on social media. We do believe him. That was an inadvertent tweet. And let's move on. I think that fan base, because he's built up at least a small relationship with him, would probably give him the okay.
Maybe.
Right?
Well, and you know what? If Michael Jordan came out and said, I believe this was a mistake.
Exactly.
I like this guy. We're in.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
could do. He
well
has said. The power to do that.
Yeah, well
he's
said.
Got the power to
yeah,
do
yeah,
yes.
for sure.
The only other problem with that, of course, is with play-by-play jobs, it's the Wally Pipp factor, right?
Oh,
that means somebody else is doing it this year.
Right.
And you can't really fire that person either. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can, but that's super rare that, hey, you know that job that we gave you last year because we had to let John go? Now you're gone, too. Like, that almost never happens
and
either.
And not that they have to bend over backwards for him and make it right or whatever, but, you know, maybe in a perfect world situation, it's like, can the Bobcats sort of help that new guy find another job and be like, hey, you did so well. Guess what? The Brooklyn Nets need a guy, and we're going to recommend you, and then we're just going to slide Fokey back in here. I don't know. But, like, I just hate the fact that, like, I met this super nice guy, and it was a couple weeks before. I think PA's one told me. He's like, you know, that's the guy that used to work here that had, like, I'm like, no, I didn't know that. Like, I didn't, like, Google who the crew was. And then from that point, I'm like, holy shit, like, this is like the nicest guy ever. Like, I can't believe this is the guy. Crazy.
Yep. It sucks.
Yeah. It sucks.
Felt bad for him.
Mm. Yeah. Man, but you know what? Obviously, that's a different thing because it's Twitter and social media and everything like that. But every morning when I turn the mic on, I'm like, a little prayer. This isn't the day that I say something terrible and get fired.
So if you stuttered and you stumbled over a word and a slur came out in a stumble or stutter, right? Where you so it wasn't a slip of a tongue. It was just in the middle of a stumble. Is that the equivalent of an autocorrect tweet?
Like I wonder.
No, I don't think so.
I wonder what would happen if somebody stuttered and accidentally stumbled on a slur.
We dumped it. Yeah.
But then obviously it still hits iHeartRadio.
Right.
Those are my fears too, but I would hope everybody with a brain understands, well, that wasn't even the word I was trying to say. That was just part of me stuttering like an idiot for 5 seconds.
Do we even remember his actual tweet was?
I think it was the Denver N-words instead of Nuggets.
This is a great game between the Jazz and the
Nuggets. He said they were, you know, the people were making shots. It was a positive, like, excited tweet.
It was a
tweet.
Nothing tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Super obvious that it was a mistake.
Super obvious.
But, I don't know.
Yeah.
And to defend the nation, again, they don't know who the fuck John Fokey is, right? They don't know if he's a good guy, bad guy. They don't know his backstory. They're just looking at the surface and says, oh, the guy tweeted the N-word. He's got to go.
Yeah.
Right? It's super black and white from a public perspective.
I mean, we do realize where the U and the I are on the keyboard. They're right next to each other.
I get it. I mean, and maybe that was part of the internal investigation, is how does this word even get auto-corrected, right? How do you accidentally type that word? And then, because I remember people saying that, well, how is it even one of his options? Like, even if you do N-I instead of N-U, how does the rest of the word come up? Like, I don't know. Ask somebody from Apple. Ask Steve Jobs or Tim Cook.
A lot of people are saying, oh, he just typed, he must have been typing it a lot, and that's why, because they're, you know, experts in how, you know, keyboards work. Yes, there are some words that if you type more often, they do come up, but that is not one of the words. It just, if you look at the keyboard, it's the U is next to the I.
My phone should be able to say fucking instead of ducking.
Right.
Like, God.
100%. You know how many times I say fuck? On the fucking phone, and it doesn't fucking autocorrect to fuck any fucking time I want it to.
Wow, Zach.
So don't tell me that he's just typing the N-word all the damn time, and it just happened to...
Wow.
You know what? What
do you know, John?
No, yeah, I just I sympathize with that idea.
It's pronounced
that,
folky, not fuck.
Yeah. Oh,
what's going on over there, Sauce?
I actually was kind of looking at Zach like, I didn't know that you guys were family members. Yeah, like, really close friends. Like,
Zach is very you knew him
determined to defend him.
I'm an aspiring play-by-play announcer, and I know what it takes. I'm sure he spent a lot of fucking late-night drives somewhere, driving to fucking who knows where.
This podcast is going to do great for your career.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. It doesn't matter. No, nothing's good for my career anymore.
Well, just be careful which websites you're posting stuff from. What was that? What was the double? What was it called?
Double insertion?
No, yeah. No. What was the one?
Double list.
Double. Oh yeah. Double.
Oh, that's right. Double list.
How did that go?
What?
You found anybody on there?
No, I never looked on there for anybody.
True. Sound a password.
Remember, you had to fake that you didn't remember your password.
Yeah,
it was one
and
of
then you had a password.
Exactly why I created the account is exactly why we went on there.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks for that, man. For the
is
show.
Is that what you tell your parole officer?
Yeah, it's like Craigslist for.
Why is it called double list?
I don't know. I don't know the history of double list.
Well, it's not sexy.
Oh, now you don't.
It's not sexy.
Yeah, it's not sexy.
How about you make your own
double
online
list.
Personal
so I name
ad
it double
classified
list.
Website?
Yeah, it's not sexy.
It's not sexy at all.
It was supposed to be double fist, but it was
yeah, it was probably taken.
You typed
had to have been taken.
It's an autocorrect.
Yeah,
autocorrect,
yeah. Callback. Yeah.
You going to stand up for double list?
No, I don't give a fuck about double list.
Jesus.
Oh.
Sorry, I don't give a duck.
I like double stuffs.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff Oreos. Anybody? Yeah.
What about the gluten-free Oreos? Let's talk.
I'm telling
good?
You.
They're
outstanding.
Okay.
Look, they taste just like an Oreo.
No kidding.
But the cracker is a gluten-free cracker. And then you stick them in the freezer and they're even better.
Oh,
cracker
hell yeah.
Cracker.
Yeah. But, yeah, sort of game-changing. Yeah, I dipped into those a little bit too much this weekend. And, you know, I never really truly understood the power of just like just one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I understand that like people are like, oh my gosh, I realize that that just one mentality, like you go down the whole sleeve of Oreos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like I kind of went down that now that I have the option to have an Oreo and be
it's
fine with
free,
it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's just one.
Yeah.
And then like a half hour later, I'm like, oh, is this one more? Yeah, is this one more?
Are you totally gluten free? Most of the time?
Yeah. I would say 99.9% of the time.
And do you do that for because you have to or you just feel better?
I do
better?
That because I have to.
Okay.
I have
got
to.
It.
Back in 2007, I was diagnosed with a severe wheat allergy sensitivity. Could not figure out why I was having hives all the time and my lips were swelling. Couldn't figure out why I had to get an EpiPen at practice because my throat was closing up.
Hmm.
And then found out that I was allergic to specifically wheat. So not like every gluten thing. So the guy that's on Twitter that's harassing me can go fuck himself.
actually-
I talked to a gastroenterologist and he says it's just a hoax and the gluten-free is not actually a thing. Unless you have celiacs. I'm like, well, I don't have celiac, but I have something going on. So he can go fuck himself.
Oh, right on.
But I don't want to go. I don't want to attack him on. Yeah. I don't want to attack him on Twitter because then it's like makes you look petty that I actually give a shit about.
Why don't you stand up for Lieber, Zach?
This guy making some good points. I think this is bullshit. This celiac thing, whatever. Celiac, my ass.
when you say you eat mostly gluten free, what percentage of the food you eat is like a gluten-free product, if you know what I mean. Like, do you buy gluten-free bread and gluten-free pasta?
Yeah, I still love, like, I was a kid, like, I loved, like, half my family is Italian, and it's like, we love pasta.
Yeah.
And so I loved, like, lasagna. Like, lasagna is one of my favorite things. But now, you know, you can make lasagna with gluten-free noodles, and it tastes the exact same.
That's awesome.
The exact same.
So when you were a kid, did you get hives and stuff, or was this a late onset?
Yeah, I did. But my mom got hives too. So I thought it was like, we always, you know, because we were sort of ignorant on like, you know, what was going on. And, yeah. and that's part of that was from the doctors, even now at the time. Like, there a lot of doctors when it comes to that are not, they don't go to nutrition school. They go to doctor school. So they have no idea like what happens in your gut.
Yeah.
And so they always told me, you'll grow out of it. Childhood thing, you'll grow out of it. You'll grow out of it. Mm. So I just like, okay, cool. I'll grow out of it.
Give me the wheat.
Yeah, I'll just like, I'll take a Benadryl or whatever when I need to.
And cereal and let's go.
Yeah. Exactly.
Some honey smacks.
And so then, you know, I was just like every other kid. I ate all sorts of shit and junk. You don't think about it.
You eat shit. Yeah.
Well, didn't you? All kids did.
Well, all kids did. I mean, that's like my kid's favorite thing now. So anyway, so because my mom had some sort of deal, I just thought like, okay, I just got her genetics and you just have to live with it. And then it got progressively worse. And then I got to the point where like, I just couldn't hide, like I'd get these giant welts all over my body. Like not even like little tiny hives, like they called them giant hives or giant welts or whatever. So
is whey protein? Is that?
No, it's gluten? A dairy product.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, is that why? I was wondering if that's like why it happened to you at practice.
No. It's all like, not that we have to go on the. So basically, because of all the anti-inflammatories I took throughout my playing career, I basically gave myself leaky gut. Mm. So I had for a long time leaky gut syndrome, which made then everything sort of pass through my small intestine and everything like that. So I was, my histamine levels and my immune system were going haywire. So it wasn't at that time I got diagnosed, it wasn't just wheat. It was like a whole slew of things I was testing positive for. And then finally, one functional medicine doctor was like, you have leaky gut syndrome. Like we need to fix your leaky gut. So then since we've done that, I've gotten so much better.
Hmm.
But all the other doctors, even the doctors at Mayo, were just like, continue taking your Allegra. I'm like, go fuck yourself. At Mayo Clinic.
Right.
He literally told me that.
Really?
Yeah. He goes, it could be a lot of different things. You know, sometimes with allergies, we just don't know if it's environmental, if it's something you eat. He's like, does Allegra work? I'm like, yeah, Allegra works. He's like, just keep taking that. I go, you're a fucking doctor at the Mayo Clinic? And you're telling me just to continue taking a pill?
You're prescribing.
Yeah. I'm like, our medical system's fucked.
Hmm.
So then I found another doctor and he actually did blood tests and all this other stuff. He's like, yeah, you got leaky gut syndrome. And then from there I followed his protocol and I was good.
I hope you guys don't mind me taking it further down this road. I don't know what leaky gut syndrome is.
So basically you have like these little tiny hairs, almost like hair-like things on the inside part of your intestine. So after you pass through your stomach, it goes in your small intestine. And those little like hairs actually pull the digested nutrients and the broken down amino acids and all that stuff and all the proteins and all that stuff and then feed your body through that because 70% of your immune system is actually in your gut. And so when you have leaky gut syndrome, think of it like dry soil. You know, like when soil like dries up and you get those cracks everywhere?
Sure, yeah.
So that's what kind of happens in the lining of your gut. And so then you get these bigger molecules that haven't quite digested and broken down to pass through your system. So then those big molecules go into your body and your immune system's like, what are you doing here? You're like, you're an invader. You're like, you're too big. Even though it might be like a protein molecule, it'd be like, we don't like you. And we start attacking. So they start attacking. It's almost like an autoimmune issue.
Whoa.
So you start attacking food, basically, what you're eating. And then that can come out in migraines, hives, ADHD. A lot of kids with what's the big like kid? Autism, a lot of autistic kids, if they go gluten-free, like a lot of stuff like clears up. It comes out in a variety of different ways for different people. So, you know, I got off of the foods that I was testing positive for, and I went on this huge gut healing, like supplements and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's better now.
Man, that's crazy.
Wow.
Wow.
So the Oreos are good?
So the Oreos are good. But the thing is, like, the funny thing is, like, I share this story with, like, a lot of other, like, football players and stuff. And, you know, secretly, you know, we all hold stuff in, especially, like, medically. And a lot of football players are finding the same sort of thing because we don't realize how many the years of anti-inflammatories that we took just destroyed our gut. I mean, I was on a prescription anti-inflammatory for 6-7 years.
Jeez.
You know, plus I would get Toradol shots for every game on Sunday.
That's what Tommy and Eddie always talk about.
Yeah. Right. So I was doing a injection on Sundays, and then like I'd follow that up with a Mobic or a Celebrex or some sort of prescription anti-inflammatory throughout the week, and then I get another shot on Sunday, and that just destroys your kidneys, your guts, everything. Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit,
Jeez.
Man. Wow.
I mean, that's part of the reason, not that, that this has to be all about me, but like that's part of the reason why like I try to live as like healthy as possible, because I know now in hindsight like how awful I was treating my body, even though like I'm working out, like sure. cardiovascular wise, I was good. Strength wise, I was good. But like internally, I was feeling the effects of just like being reckless with just like, fuck it. I got to play. I got to play. I got to play.
Yeah.
And now that I'm done, I'm like, I need to kind of take care of myself better, because I'm kind of starting on the negative side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oof. Yeah. That's scary, man. I wonder like what percentage of people who just walk around don't know that they need to be gluten free.
Well, I'd suggest everybody to get like a blood test with the All-Cat test that I take, or there's others. There's a Cyrex test. There's an All-Cat test. Even once a year, it's just a simple blood test. You send it off to the lab, and they'll show you like 200 different foods of which you test sensitive for.
Yeah.
And they also test medicines. Like I found out I was slightly allergic to penicillin.
Hmm.
They test molds. They test like all sorts of environmental stuff. And it's just kind of good. It's like good peace of mind to know like, hey, I didn't realize I was allergic to Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Maybe I should avoid Brussels sprouts.
Right.
Hey, I didn't know I was allergic to soy sauce. Probably. And it's funny how like you take those out of your system and you eat foods that don't have those in there. And you're like, man, I used to get really bloated when I ate that. But now I don't feel any bloat.
That's
all just like small symptoms of what's going on in your gut.
It's been 3 years ago for me now, probably. And so I need to do it again, because I know things change a lot, especially as you get older. But when I found out that I couldn't eat lettuce, mm-hmm. I still every now and again forget and have a salad or something like that. But I almost shit my pants.
Yeah.
As soon as I have
really?
Lettuce.
You can't eat lettuce?
I can't eat lettuce.
Are you allergic?
Yeah. It's one of my things. It's the number one thing that came back on mine. One was lettuce, and two was corn.
Yeah, corn's a big one.
Yeah.
Corn's in everything, man. Everything.
Man, yeah. I love corn.
I know.
Yeah.
It's the only, quote, vegetable I eat.
Yeah.
And it's not even a vegetable.
You meant the band.
Yeah, if I turn on 93X and I'm playing Word Up, I shit my pants. That's how allergic I am to corn.
We had that allergy test for my dog a handful of years, because French bulldogs are just medical disasters. And same, you know, they kind of like shaved her half of her down and then gave her, I don't know, like 30 different little pokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's whatever ones get irritated, those mm-hmm. are what she... And they basically said, you should just send this thing back to hell. like this dog is a disaster.
It's from hell?
Pretty much, yeah. But that's the bad thing. As a human, you can say like, all right, I should probably... skip lettuce. I should probably... With a dog, that test basically told us, well, she's allergic to air and food and water, so good luck fucking taking care of this thing. We're like, God dang it, she's allergic. But honestly, one of the things she's allergic to is dust particles.
Are you kidding me?
Grass. That's and the other one is grass. She's awful with grass. So it's like, all right, she has to piss on the sidewalk and not live because there's dust everywhere.
Okay, so let me stop you there, because dogs and humans are pretty much the same in the way they treat these allergies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that the skin prick test doesn't work, but the skin prick test is only testing you for the environmental stuff in which your body is going to react and have a histamine reaction to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The blood test actually tells you what's going on inside your body out. So a lot of times you get a false read on a skin prick test because your body internally is going haywire with the amount of histamine that's being pumped into it. So you may not actually be allergic to that stuff. It's just that it might just irritate it enough because your body's so hypersensitive. So our dogs were not quite as bad as that. But same thing. We put our dogs on an all raw food diet and cleared up every allergy they had, all the skin stuff that they had. They were on our dog in San Diego is allergic to pepper trees, which pepper trees is kind of a big thing in Southern California. And his feet would just blow up and be inflamed. And he'd lick them all the time. And he'd get like crusty stuff and almost like a yeast infection between his paws or his nails or whatever. His whatever. And so once we went to an all raw food diet, like everything cleared up.
Hmm.
Because if you think about what's in kibble, it's none of the shit that dogs should ever eat.
Corn,
filler, soybean shit, like... They don't eat that stuff in the wild.
Yeah, right.
So their bodies are having these huge reactions, even though they're like, they're gaining weight and they get the nutrients, so they get calories, but it's nothing they're designed to eat.
Hmm.
And so we continue to feed our dogs fucking this gross kibble, and we wonder why we have allergies and they get cancer and they get whatever. And all of our Danes have lived almost 12 years old. What's the average? 7 to 9.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, you know, we spend a little bit more money on raw food and we have way less pet visits. We don't have skin issues. They don't have all these other deals. And it's the same thing as humans.
See, we tried all of that. We tried the natural foods, the raw foods. We've tried every drug in process in the world.
Did you try kicking it?
Yeah, that's why our lady parts are twisted now. It used to be 12 and 6. So, but now we get this. We get, when we go to a new vet, or our longtime vet just like retires and now we have a new one, when we tell them that we've had her on steroids for years, because this steroid that she's on now post that allergy test is the best we've ever gotten it. We've tried everything, right? She's still a disaster, but this is the best she's ever been.
A manageable disaster.
Manageable disaster, but it's still bad. But now we get this, well, this is pretty damaging to her. Like, this is going to, you know, cut her life short. And we're like, we know. Right. We know.
That's part of the goal.
So we're picking quality over quantity. Yeah. We know we're probably taking a little bit of time off the back end, but we're like, she was so miserable that she may have lived longer, but she wasn't going to ever enjoy a day. Like, this is better. But man, do we get the looks. Well, she shouldn't be on that many steroids. Like, you fucking live with her.
Yeah.
You try dealing with this. Because to your point, she would lick 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So it was gross. The sound is like nails on a chalkboard. Her feet were just disgustingly red. Yeah. She was licking herself raw. Meat sauce. It was fucking gross. So now we get you guys are kind of bad dog parents. You take her home.
Yeah. Which is another thing I should mention is that, like, all the things that I've experienced and I talk about this stuff, like, you absolutely could be in a situation like none of this stuff works. Like, your body might just be fucking jacked. Genetically, sorry. Just do the best to make your life manageable.
Right.
Yeah. But for some of these other things, it's so much more about what we put in it than anything else.
It's worth exploring, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't talked about it in a long time, but once again, that test is called the ALCAT test.
It's an ALCAT, A-L-C-A-T. It's by Cell Science Systems out of Florida. And then there's another one called a Cyrix Array. And there's like different levels of each one. Like the cheapest one, maybe a couple hundred bucks will get you like 50 foods. And then another one will get you 100. And then you can get like the platinum one, which is all the dyes, the molds, the environmental stuff. That's like, and then 200 different foods.
Right.
So, and because like you mentioned, like your microbiome changes all the time because it's like a living, breathing organism. Like, I try to get one done every year because things just change, you know? So.
Yep, especially you get older. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
good. That was 32 minutes. Holy moly. We actually had something to talk about on the after party today.
Zach's still pissed.
I know.
About autocorrect.
Kids.
Hi.
Do something about it.
Yeah. Invent something.
Brian, what's your deal? You didn't say much. What's new with you?
I don't know. I just agree with everything Ben's saying. I just feel like...
What a kiss ass.
Yeah. He's got some good stuff to say, and it's just not a one-size-fits-all with everybody. You should just do what makes your body feel good. And
everywhere I looked this weekend in Stillwater and such, girls were wearing half shirts.
I know.
It's a new thing.
It's a secret.
Back from when I was a kid. I used to wear half shirts all the time.
He didn't even wear a shirt this whole weekend.
I know. He and his all his buddies at the cabin.
Started in the pool, ended with his friends.
Hey, would you do me a favor next time, just FaceTime me so I can see people having fun that are friends and stuff?
Sure. Yeah, I can do that.
That'd be cool, man.
Can you give me your number?
I'll text it to you again. Yeah. Yeah, that number that sends you all the dick pictures, that's me, man. Just save that into your... That's me.
Must have been nice. You guys had a nice weekend.
It would have been worse with you there.
Yeah. Boy, it's hard to argue that. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bud Light Lemonade Seltzer.